welcome back to the Void Arcade.
Hello.
We're joined again today by Jordan. Once again.
It's-a me.
Second time in a row.
Yeah, maybe going to be third time in a row if we're not careful.
I know. Yeah, so today we are going over Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, this was... I don't know what I was expecting, but I had such a good time playing this game.
Me too. I had zero expectations, but it's actually one of my favorite games of the year, no doubt, and definitely up there with my favorite games of all time as well, which is very surprising. I never thought that I would put a Kirby game in one of my all-time favorite games.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kirby, especially when I was younger. I played it a lot, but it's always been like... I don't know. They're easy games, you know? And I typically gravitate towards difficult games.
Mm.
So I was surprised.
No, I'm right there with you. Kirby's kind of been like my jam. Kirby games were my favorite games to play on Game Boy Advance. I really enjoyed playing Kirby games on DS. And then I kind of fell off with a 3DS because I pretty much Control-Alt-Deleted for a couple years while the 3DS was popular. So I missed all those, enough. But...
Hey, same. Yep, same.
But no, so I was surprised to come back and, like, see the series super polished like this.
Yeah, so good. Everything about this game felt very, very polished. I feel like polished is a pretty good word to describe the whole experience. It just felt really, really good. It felt very catered.
Yeah. And I was also surprised it's the first time that this series has been in 3D.
Is this the first 3D Kirby game for reals?
For realsies. And I had to check that as well. Because, I mean, yeah, you got like a couple spin-offs, I guess. And by couple, I mean Air Ride is the only one that comes to my brain. And they always have like
the
2.5D games, you know, like Crystal Shards.
Yeah. But... That's what I was thinking. I was like, I thought, because they have, so they have like 3D models, maybe, but not necessarily like a 3D game.
Yeah. Z-directional movement.
Yes. Yeah. Which is great. I mean, it's great. I love it. Maybe they should have done this earlier because, wow, what a good formula. Although I feel like it definitely takes some know-how to get everything right. And I've read your show notes a little bit on the camera movement, but that's a big thing, I think, that you have to nail in order to do the 3D Kirby correctly. And they did nail it. The camera movement in the game, you don't even notice it. You don't even think about it. It's so automatic and good.
Mm-hmm.
And it just leads your eye in the correct ways. And I was really impressed by it. I think it's kind of a minor thing, but without it, the game wouldn't be what it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because at first I was like, when I saw all the promotional material, I was like, wow, like this is... like Mario Odyssey style, I'm gonna be jumping around and collecting all these coins and stuff, you know? And that actually kind of upset me when I got the game and it didn't fit that expectation of like, this isn't the Mario Odyssey camera level design, but almost, you know, like an hour in, I completely forgot about it. I didn't think about the camera movement again being something I wanted and until I was thinking about the show notes, and I think you had wrote something about camera movement, and I was like, wow, they really did do a good job,
right? Yeah, I mean, particularly I think the boss fights were really, and you wrote this down too, I think, but the boss fights, I remember being very impressed. It was like, I never frustrated by the camera in the boss fights. It's always like perfect.
Yeah, how did they do that?
How did they do that? Seriously, every angle that I wanted to see the fight from, that's the angle I saw the fight from. Every single time.
Every
without
time.
Fail.
There's some magic in that camera, man.
Seriously, they did a good job. They did a really good job. Like I said, everything's very polished. Everything feels very intentional from the camera movement. And I'm sure that some of that is based on the gameplay as well. The way that the bosses move and the things that they do. Mm-hmm. Although they do some crazy stuff that you'd think would be difficult to follow with an automatic camera, but they do it, and it's not hard on the eyes. Yeah. Once again, just praises the cameraman, Kirby cameraman.
Yeah, the cameraman is the real star of the show.
Exactly, the MVP. I want to see who the cameraman is. It's funny, like in Mario, they actually have the cameraman as a character, right?
Yeah, Lakitu.
Lakitu?
Yeah.
That's Nintendo canon, right? There's got to be a cameraman.
There's always a cameraman. And whoever this one is a stellar. It's just doing a stellar job.
Great job. Give that man a raise. Give that or, man. Or woman.
Yep. Yeah, we don't discriminate.
No.
No.
We need more women in game dev.
Amen. Well, before we jump into more sectionalized parts, so Kirby and the Forgotten Land is a video game, obviously. It got a 4.5 out of 5 from GameStop, 8 out of 10 from IGN, 85% on Metacritic. Not that anyone really cares about any of those numbers. But we don't have any awards to talk about because this is such a new game. It hasn't had time to win awards.
We're topical.
Yeah, kind of topical.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was released March 25th, 2022, and developed by HAL Laboratory, published by Nintendo. 13th mainline installment in the Kirby series. That's a lot of Kirby games.
That is a lot of Kirby games. I did not know there were that's a fun little bit of trivia that I did not know. The 13th game.
13.
Good thing 13's not unlucky in Japan, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Japan. It's either Japan or China. 4 is the unlucky number.
I think it's both, actually.
Is it both?
But it's definitely Japan because 4 in Japanese is she, right? And that also means death.
Right. Yes. 13 so. Games, man. I think I've played maybe half.
Oh, maybe if under that for half. Me as well. Yeah. I think I played the Game Boy game, and I don't even know that that was the original game. I remember the first time I saw it, it was in a lunchroom at school, and I think my brother was there, and he was playing it with his friends, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So I think that was like one of my first intros to video games, and my love for video games truly was Kirby, now that I think about it.
Kirby was there for me too, because my first experience with gaming was on the Nintendo 64. He was there, Smash Bros.
Oh, yeah, Smash Bros. Was 64. That was definitely, those were the days,
those
man.
Those were the days. Dude, but what a legacy. Good grief.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's crazy. They've done a lot of stuff, and they've done a good job. They're obviously improving. I'm not even sure how much Nintendo does versus HAL Laboratories, but they've obviously got some formula correct, because this game so good. I'm surprised that it honestly seems lower in terms of the ratings that you gave it. I guess 4.8 out of 5 is really, really good, but 85 on Metacritic, I wouldn't be surprised. I wonder, you know, I'm gonna look it up real quick. Even
look it up real quick.
Yeah, so I guess like the user score is 8.9, so a little bit higher than the overall Metascore, and I would expect that, but almost 9. I would expect it to be 9.
Yeah, it's good.
It is good. It's way good. It's like better than it. I don't know. It very much surprised me how good it is, but
yeah, it's very surprising. So before we get into like gameplay and stuff, I thought that laying a backdrop of the overall narrative would be kind of fun, because I don't know, Kirby games have like these easygoing little narratives, and in the very end, like they take a turn for the worse, and all of a sudden you're fighting a god being. With unlimited power.
I love it so much every single time. The whole Kirby aesthetic is basically those, and they used to scare the crap out of me when I was little.
Right?
Those little like flying bird things. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Like they flap around and they're super cute and nice, and then if you touch them, they turn into nightmare fuel.
Yes.
And chase you.
Yes.
With big scary sharp teeth. And they were literal nightmare fuel for me. I was scared of those things when I was younger. And they're still, but that's like Kirby to a T, right? Everything's super cute and fuzzy and great until you learn that it's actually about a dark god that's consuming everything in essence, right? And like,
yeah,
everything goes crazy and your friends betray you and turn into crazy abominations. Like, that's Kirby.
Casey in the audience says they're called Scarfy.
Scarfy?
Scarfy. Yeah, dude.
Oh, the nightmare beans.
Crystal shards in the 64. And like, you're sucking all the enemies up. The game's like teaching you, hey, you suck up enemies, blah, blah. And then one of those Scarfies comes on the screen, right? It's like terrifying. You're like, oh, I'll just suck it up. You're just a kid. You don't know. You don't know.
You're just a kid. How can they do that to a child?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I love the like the cute aesthetic the Kirby games have, not to mention their impeccable soundtracks, and then they just devolve into defeating god beings. It's amazing.
Yeah, Kirby really has a unique thing going for it, and it's great. I will also say, I don't know if I'll get another chance to say it, but the like the UI and the effects, the stars and like particles shooting everywhere with like stars and candies and swirls and whatnot. I love it. I love it so much. It makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah, I do like that too.
Anyways, that has nothing to do with the narrative, the story. We can get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So from what I remember and from my research earlier this morning, so the game starts, you got Kirby and him and a lot of Planet Popstar, where he lives, is sucked into this dimensional rift, and now there's a bunch of people in this, well, not people, but Planet Popstar animals and residents in this seemingly empty or forgotten world. So a bunch of these Waddle-Dees are captured. Kirby sets out to save them. He meets a little creature called Elphalyn. Is Kirby a he or a she? Or a
it? I think Kirby is androgynous.
Androgynous. Okay, then. Kirby meets a little creature. They become friends. They traverse the game together. And then as you save more Waddle-Dees, they start to build this little town, little hub area. And you meet a couple that improve different gameplay aspects, like one of them will offer to upgrade your abilities if you give him these blueprints and currency. But you also have a couple of returning characters like DDD, who is mind controlled for like the 50th time in the Kirby series. and then he gets brain controlled again, even in this game for a second time.
Even more brain controlled.
Yeah, even more brain controlled.
I love that King Dedede's redemption arc in this game is basically that initially he's just being a big dingus, kind of like he do. And then afterwards, he's like really mind controlled after he has that mask on.
Yeah.
And then his redemption is he wakes up and he throws a Waddle Dee. And that's like, that's his redeeming moment. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. When you're at that elevator or whatever, and he's like, he realizes what he has to do.
Yeah, it really made me, laugh out loud when he threw it. I was like, that is, because he runs in, he's going to defend this Waddle Dee, and it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then he throws it, and I'm like, oh, what the?
Yeah. It's funny. That's also not the first time he's been brainwashed by a mask in the Kirby series.
Yeah, I feel like, was it his, like, Robo wrestler mask or something like that?
Yeah, he needs some kind of like face protection. I don't know, like a face anti-mask face cream.
Vaseline. He just needs to smear Vaseline on his face every day.
Yeah, seriously though. But anyway, so then you go up and you have to beat up this Leon Gar. He's like this king of beasts. There's a bunch of beasts in this forgotten land. They have like their own little clan, and they've been capturing Waddle Dees. So you're there to just kind of beat them up. He's like protecting this dimensional entity, which just so happens to be half of a dimensional god being. And the other half is that cute little furry friend that you made at the beginning of the game. The one that's been trapped, Elphalus, is the other half of Elphalyn, the little friend you made.
Is his name Elphalus? I think that isn't the combined version Elphalus, and he's like Fecto Pharaoh or F86 or whatever.
Yeah, the ID F86. Man, there's like three or four different names.
They're named, I know for real, they're named like five things, so it is okay hard to keep up with. But
yeah. So the ID one, which, by the way, what kind of... I know there's nobody that lives on this planet anymore, this forgotten land. What kind of civilization has the technology to contain a dimensional god being?
For real. I wonder, was it like split in half initially and that's how they got it? Because the larva thing is like not very... I think that doesn't do much of anything.
Yeah.
Potentially. maybe they caught it when it was asleep. But if it was like combined where it's like calling down meteors and opening up rifts, it's like, well, how did you do that?
Yeah, like I have no idea. That civilization's nutty. Who knows where they went, though?
No, I don't know. Also, I like that it's very par for the course for Kirby that your initial friend that you meet with just so happens to be a god that you fight in the end of the game. It's very Kirby.
Yeah.
Spoilers. That is funny. Oops. Spoilers.
Oh, spoilers. Yeah, there is spoilers. But anyway, so the ID being the one that's contained, I think it senses its other half. So it wakes up. It possesses Leongar that you just defeated, and then you have to do a second phase with Leongar, and then after you defeat him, then the ID dude becomes this amorphous blobulous mass, and it just starts absorbing all of these beasts, and then eventually gets to Elphalyn, and then both halves, they merge, and then you have to face the final boss, Fecto Elphalus, with the crazy dimensional powers.
It's a very cool fight.
It's a cool fight.
I think.
It is a cool fight. I didn't really like the design of Elphalus. I thought it was very Sonic OC looking.
I definitely see what you're saying with that. I actually loved the design for Elphalus, truly. I don't know. That's just how I felt about it. But I had zero problems.
Zero problems.
I think... Yeah, I don't know what else I would have expected from it. Although I will say that I also love the orb. I don't know. I think it was mainly the like boss fight. Everything about the boss fight in the end was just like, I don't know. My mouth was agape the whole time, I feel like, just because I was like, wow, okay, he's like throwing meteors at me now. That's crazy. Just like all this stuff that was happening. Right. I don't know. I loved it.
Yeah, like surface level design aside, it is an immensely satisfying fight. It is so hype. Like, it's all of his attacks are super interesting. And like, I wasn't quite playing Elden Ring on the side when I was playing this game. I wasn't into Elden Ring yet. But now that I've played it a little bit, I'm like, man, this is like, I don't want to say it's FromSoft levels of boss design because it's a Kirby game to be played by children, probably, but it was difficult. I had to play it a couple times to get the patterns down and the timing right.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the difficulty of the bosses. It didn't feel like, I mean, to me, obviously it's not like, it's not quite the same difficulty as the FromSoft bosses, but like in terms of quality, absolutely. Ooh, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I loved it. And it was much more difficult than previous Kirby titles. Oh, that's 100%. Sure.
Especially in the Ultimate Cup.
Oh, yes. I love it. I mean, the Ultimate Cup is something to go into all on its own because I loved that. Did you use dodging? Did you dodge when you played Kirby?
Yeah, I use the dodge.
Cool. I love how that's like the most OP ability, but it doesn't tell you about it. It never tells you. I can't even remember how I learned.
Like, when you dodge, all the abilities have their own dodge counter.
Ability. Yeah, well, and you get like the witch time or whatever from what's the game called?
Bayonetta. Yeah.
Bayonetta. Yeah, exactly. You get like the witch time when you dodge in the right time.
Yeah.
It's like it's this huge mechanic that's so helpful, but it doesn't tell you anything about it. And you don't need it for the whole game. I thought that was really I kind of love that sort of thing. It's the same type of thing where I love when there's no tutorial and it just lets you figure stuff out. It feels like that to me, and I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, I did too. And you definitely need it. I mean, someone online listed out the scale of the powers of Fecto Elphus, and I think it would be fun to just name them out because, I don't know, god beings are fun.
Yeah.
So here's just a list of what this user on this versusbattles.com website said is what this being contains. So they have superhuman physical characteristics. They have weapon mastery with a spear, mind manipulation, how they, you know, because they control the beast pack and D2D absorption. It absorbed beasts and Elphalyn possession, because it can possess characters at will. Soul manipulation, because it split one of the character's souls into 300 pieces. And portal creation, which is how the game even started. And he creates portals all through the boss fight, like Jordan was saying, pulling through like asteroids and stuff. Duplication, can duplicate themselves and others, illusory copies, and can even copy characters that they've never met, like Meta Knight. Healing, the only boss in the entire series that can heal himself mid-fight. That's a whole new one. No boss in any of the 13 Kirby games has ever healed himself mid-fight.
Wow, that is interesting. I actually, I don't think that I ran into the healing. I think that I always got lucky. I think that's when he splits himself into four or whatever, and you have to pick the right one. I always got lucky. I think I always picked it almost the first time, at least.
Yeah. He's got. He's also got teleportation. Oh, my wobble, Shinderu. Energy manipulation, fires energy lances and lasers on many occasions. Illusion creation, just like duplication, can mimic powers through absorbing other dudes.
It's like an alternative Kirby.
Yeah. Power bestowal, can boost fodder enemies into shadow versions, which is shown in the post game. Telekinesis, throwing meteors, skyscrapers. Freaking planets, force field creation, black hole generation, sound manipulation, shockwave generation, darkness manipulation, and that's all they have listed.
I mean, I don't even know if that goes into that. It seems like, I don't know. It seems like he created the post game area, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that is. Maybe it already existed, but I don't know. Could be another one, but that is very interesting. That's a lot of powers.
It's a lot
very
of powers.
Much the Kirby endgame boss battle that we know and love.
Yeah, and that's not even like, that's not even mentioning his final form in the Ultimate Cup, which is,
yeah,
you know, even something of itself.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
So good.
I love that. I figure we'll talk about the Ultimate Cup at some point. Anyways.
Oh, we have to.
Because I'm excited about it. That was maybe my favorite part of the whole game. I think I've played it like 3 times at this point.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's super fun. It's super fun. Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean...
Ad break. Ad break goes here.
When I originally read that, I was like, man, it would be kind of fun just to tier list all the bosses. But then I looked at all the bosses and I was like, how do you tier list? I don't even know half these guys. But how do I, you know, this dude can create black holes. Some of them can manipulate space time. Oh. Like, how do I, how do you?
I see. You're talking tier list in terms of like fighting each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking tier list in just terms of enjoyment or design.
Enjoyment or design. That would be a lot easier. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I figured that's all subjective, and I know very much about that. Although, let's be real, the versus battles are always subjective anyways.
Yeah, that's true. That's super true.
Whose plot armor is better than whose, you know, especially with the characters. This is an aside, but characters like One Punch Man or Superman, the literal canon for them is basically they're as strong as they need to be, right? Like, that's Superman's whole thing. So it's like, okay, whose plot armor wins, you know? Like, it's the same. Neither of them can lose. So, obviously, it is subjective when you put them in a versus battle because it's just whoever you decide. Because that's how the whole story works.
Yeah.
They don't belong in the same universe.
Yeah. And then even despite all of that, despite all the powers, this Specto Elphalus just gets rammed by Kirby with a freaking semi truck and dies.
I love that that's like the literal ending. That's not like a metaphor, you know?
No, yeah.
Kirby literally rams a semi truck into the final boss and wins.
I'm a, it is, it's one of those quick time events, but man, that's a, that's some of the hypest stuff, dude. I was like yelling.
Oh my gosh. I loved it. It was so fun. It's seriously like the jaw dropping moments. Like I'm talking, that was one of them. Just like stuff just kept happening and happening. Mm-hmm. To me, it felt like that for a long time. That the final boss fight, and then that there was after credits stuff. And dude, then right? And then the ultimate showdown stuff, or the ultimate Coliseum match. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, seriously, blown away so many times. Jaw-dropping moments for me. I was like, this is insane. I can't believe that there's more.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I was like, oh man, that was such a good game. What a high moment. And then they're just like, hey, yeah, there's harder versions of all the worlds over here. They're all crammed together.
Yeah, I love it.
And I'm like, what? And then, yeah.
I will say, and I'm assuming we're basically moving on to the gameplay anyways, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I will say that I very much preferred the Waddle Dee collecting to the Soul Fragment collecting. Soul Fragment collecting felt more like collect all the coins, but the Waddle Dee collecting felt so good. Like, I was probably one of my favorite parts about the whole game in terms of gameplay is that they always did really interesting stuff, like beat the race in this time. It's these things that you kind of naturally do as a player, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did a lot of playtesting to determine which Waddle Dee I don't know, challenges to put in.
Yeah.
Because it's stuff like, you know, climb onto the top of this, like, rocket, and then you get one. And just, like, random stuff. It basically is just promoting you to experiment, or, like, encouraging you, rather, to experiment and have fun and play the game the way that you would if you were really just trying to, I don't know, have fun and dink around. And yeah, it rewards you for that. And I haven't seen it done that way in another game, and I really, really loved it in this one.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, and this is kind of jumping to a different thing, but I think that's a part of the just the core design of this game is rewarding players with experimentation and like with knowledge, because you also have those Treasure Road challenges where it's like, hey, beat this Treasure Road challenge, you get this currency. But then it's like, but if you do it in under this time, we'll give you a coin bonus. And for me, I love doing those because they were just super fun. But the plus side of that is it also taught me about the utility of everything in the game. Like, I didn't know that one of the cutter abilities would...
The ricochet?
Yeah, like ricochet off the walls, or one of them like always went... One always went left in a circle, like a boomerang. Oh, one always went right in a... So, yeah.
Yeah, well... And one of those treasure roads taught me about like the digging in a circle to make the big explosion.
Yeah, too. Yeah, same.
Didn't know about that. Very cool. I love that they added. They have a lot of fun stuff in the abilities. The abilities are very, very fun, and I love that they all have like their unique flair and gameplay twist that makes them feel good to use. Mm-hmm. It's very well done.
Yeah.
Did you? This is back to what you're saying about the treasure road. But did you finish all the? Did you get all the check marks?
Oh, every last one. Absolutely.
Same.
So fun.
I know. I don't know if that, I don't think that you need to get 100%, but I was like, well, I'm not. I would never leave until I got it.
Yeah, I would never. Yeah, it was just really fun and satisfying.
It was. I wish that there would have been like some kind of good job for doing that, but they're really, it's just the coins, which I think it's good too. It's there's definitely a balance between like accessibility and the challenge, but I would have loved just a little, I don't know, dinky thing, dinky reward.
Yeah. I mean, they could have added another gotcha trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And then it would have been necessary for 100% in the game, which I don't, even that, it's like, I don't know, that's fine. Yeah. Just whatever. Give me like a picture, like even if it's just like a photograph in Kirby's room or something, right? Just something to commemorate, like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Just good game design, man.
So good. Great game design. The level design is something that's like 10 out of 10 top tier. I don't know a game that has better level design than this Kirby game. Mm-hmm. They really lead you the way that they intend. It feels like I'm playing a tailored game that's made just for me to go through. And then, like, for instance, they'll put an enemy over in this weird corner and you're like, why is that enemy there? And you go explore it. And then it turns out it's a secret room and you find a Waddle Dee or whatever else it is.
Yeah.
In there, and it just kind of like leads you, it leads your eye and what you're doing, and it very much feels fluid and like there's a game master running the game session for me as I'm playing it.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. the secrets are like, oh, they're so fun to find. So fun.
And the exploration is really, yeah, like you're saying, super fluid. Always finding something. There's usually always a reason for a thing to exist in this game.
Yeah, that is what it felt. Everything felt very intentional.
And I would often find, even when there wasn't a Waddle Dee or something, like sometimes I would just jump on top of something and like it would poof, some coins would pop up. And I'd be like, somebody thought
yeah. that
a player might jump up here to look for a secret. So let's just give them a couple of coins for their curiosity, you know?
Yeah, just a little reward. Yeah, it's always rewarding you for exploring and experimenting. Yeah. I love it. And I really do. I imagine that it was a lot of play testing. It's what it feels like to me, because they just knew. They knew exactly what I wanted to do as a player. So I imagine they just like put those things in after the fact. They're like, okay, well, let's watch and see what the players do. It's like, well, all these players want to look up here for something. Let's just put something there.
Yeah. It was so cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, I loved it. Level design. Abilities,
right? Abilities, yeah. So we have to talk about the downscaling of the abilities. There's only, well, there's technically 12 copy abilities.
What's the technicality?
Well, I mean, you can upgrade them.
Ah,
most of them.
Yes,
anyway, I see. Most of them have two evolutions. The sword and the hammer, they have three. And then some of them, they only have mm-hmm. the one. Upgrade, like yeah, like sleep and crash.
Sleep and crash.
Freaking JoJo.
Yeah. Yo, I love it. Yeah,
Zawoldo. Man, Kirby knows Zawoldo. This is crazy.
No, it's awesome. Yes, Kirby. Truly, Kirby wins in any versus. You know, hypothetical versus. Kirby's the winner in my mind.
Nobody can beat him. Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's beyond being just like a person. He's like an eternal extraterrestrial entity. I don't know who has. He's just unstoppable. He's like the reincarnation of the void, right? That's like the actual canon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's reincarnation of like dark matter, void energy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's killed like, I mean, if this is 13 mainline Kirby games, I can only assume he's killed 12 or 13 gods. I mean, when Final Fantasy does it, they have a, you know, they have a whole team.
Yeah, Kirby does it all by himself. Doesn't even bat an eye. Having a great time doing
yep,
it.
Yep, and then you just eat some cake afterwards.
Yeah, I love that. I love that Kirby's like, I feel like Kirby's main motivation half the time is just food.
Yep.
And I love that.
Yeah, that's great. So, tangent, what did you think about the ability count? Like, how many there were and the new system?
Oh, I think that, like, I kind of went in expecting it to be, I guess, a fewer ability account. I don't even know why, but that is what I thought. And I was pleasantly surprised with the upgrades. The upgrades all felt like new abilities to me, and everything felt super polished. And that was the thing I was happy about. I would rather there be fewer abilities that all feel really good than there be a ton of abilities, but some of them are just jank. What was that one? Video Game Donkey did a video on it. It's a Sega game. Balan Wonderland,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
It has like a billion abilities, but they're all so janky. It's like that. That's like the opposite of this game, actually.
Dude, that's so true. I didn't even think about that.
So I'm glad that I don't live in the reality where Kirby Forgotten Lands was a ton of abilities that all sucked like that. And it's just like they streamlined a few abilities and they're all so fun to play.
Yeah, they are. They are super fun. I guess I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. I was really hoping for a lot of abilities. I think I've been jaded by nostalgia, because ever since I played the Crystal Shards, I've just kind of hoped and dreamed for a Kirby game that really focuses and dials in on like abilities. And I really want a Crystal Shards sequel where you can combine a bunch of different abilities to make new ones. Yeah,
the ability combination. I agree. Ability combination is something that's definitely been missing from the series since Crystal Shards. And I think it was it's a fan favorite. Anybody I talk to is like, oh yeah, that was dope. Loved it. And I loved it. It was so cool. I think there was like, if you combined the cutter with the bomb, you get those exploding shuriken.
Yeah,
you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Those were, and they'd like stick into stuff, yeah. Like stick into enemies and then explode. It was so cool. I loved it. It was so fun to combine all those things. I definitely think that it would be cool if they're able to do that. I think whenever you bring combinations into a game, it does get a little complicated, and I can understand why they've steered away from it, but
yeah,
I would love it.
So, I mean, so I was initially kind of bummed. I was like, man, there's like 12 abilities, and some of them you don't even really use, like sleep. I didn't necessarily use a whole lot.
I used the upgraded sleep every time I could. Upgrade sleep for sure. Great.
But they did grow on me, though, with the upgrades, because I think the first time I upgraded something, I was like, oh, shoot, like this is a weapon that's wielded by the mini boss. Like, I think it's the sword. Yeah. The sword is the first one. And I'm like, well, dang it, this is the same exact sword that the mini boss had. I think that's the pattern they had throughout the rest of the game. There's a couple that don't give you the boss weapons, but it was really cool to see some bosses have weapons, and then later on, like, that's your power now. It was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. It was very cool. It felt really cool to see that.
Mm-hmm. And the evolve abilities kept things fresh, but something that I thought about this morning as I was going through and organizing the show notes is, even though there is a small amount of abilities, you have the evolutions, which definitely change things up as you play across your playtime. But the other thing that I realized is the mouthful mode also splits up the gameplay. Mm. So even if you gravitate towards one or two or three abilities that are your favorite, you go through the level and you have to use mouthful mode to kind of break up that style of gameplay where you're just mashing your attack button with your favorite ability.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. It adds quite a bit of variety, and it felt very novel. It was very different to the series, and I love that you could layer, like you could have an ability and it wouldn't take it away from you to have the mouthful mode. It was just like a temporary bonus. I love the way that they did the mouthful mode, and I thought it was very fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was super fun.
No, I agree. That does add a lot. In the end, the ability count, if you count the upgrades and the mouthful mode and all of that, probably was pretty high.
Oh, yeah. So there's 36 different abilities.
Wow.
And I think something also to note is after you evolve them, you can also just de-evolve them into their previous form. And those cost less currency to upgrade in the post game. So you can actually make them really, really powerful.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's something I didn't really realize until I talked to the wise Waddle Dee enough times, because he would be like, he'd give all sorts of fun facts, and he would always be like, the world record for defeating this boss is like 5 seconds using the toy hammer. And I'm like, toy hammer is like the first evolution of the hammer. But what I didn't realize is it's the toy hammer completely upgraded to like plus 10. And I guess there's something about the plus 10 toy hammer that is insanely good at defeating bosses.
Huh. Interesting. So, yeah, I had no idea. That's so cool.
Yeah, so even the evolutions, even though some are more powerful than others and they act different than others, they have different utility.
Right. They're all viable abilities. Yeah. So like the 36 are all standalone great abilities.
Yeah.
I wonder how many crystal shards had.
How many does crystal shard have? 36 total unique abilities.
In crystal shards?
Yes. That's.
So it's the same.
So it's the same. Dude, this is a revelation.
What the heck? That is a revelation. What the flip? Yeah, that's so weird. This is the same number as that game. I had no idea. I never would have guessed. Huh.
Hmm.
Wow. What a fun little piece of trivia.
Yeah, wow. And I guess it's probably the combining that makes it feel like there's a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, probably. It makes it feel like there's just like infinite, you know?
Yeah. But
you can combine anything. I'm not even sure that you could combine every ability or not. I can't remember how it worked exactly.
Yeah.
But also, I do have to say
that,
and we've talked about this, but Spike in every other Kirby game is the most garbage ability that has ever existed in a video game, but in this one it's actually so good, and that was wow, incredible.
It had a glow up.
It did. I was blown away. I did not expect to like. I always hated the spike ability. I'm like, I always spat it out in the previous Kirby games, and this one I'm like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, because in the previous games you are stationary. You have to use spike, and you're stationary or you're really slow. right?
So slow. Yeah, and then this one, it gives you mobility. And I'm like, of course. Like, that just makes sense.
And I like how with some of the evolutions, the more enemies you pick up, like, the longer you can keep that momentum going. So you can just keep going across a level, just picking up dudes. It's probably one of the fastest abilities you can have now.
Yeah, definitely. If you've got a string of enemies, yeah, you just go indefinitely and just roll around. It's very fun, and like throwing them is very fun. Yeah. It feels very Katamari Damacy-esque.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's like a game within a game.
Yeah, and I especially thought that when I was playing through the Treasure Road for that one. Picking them all up.
Yeah, that was a fun Treasure Road too. I really liked that one.
So do you have a favorite ability then?
Oh, Morpho Sword. I don't know. It's hard to beat that one. I don't know. And it's the one I always use, like, if I'm going to do the Colosseum. I've only ever done the Colosseum with that one, and it's so cool. And it has so many different, like, functions to it. Yeah. I love it.
It's got a lot of range, got a lot of damage. You can also be up close. It also has that unique dodge where you just straight up go invisible.
Yeah, the dodge is pretty OP, honestly. It makes things very easy.
Yeah. I gravitated towards the Space Ranger, the laser gun.
That was a cool one. I always wanted it to do more damage than it did, I think, is why I didn't go towards it.
And then I got it to +1. That was before I knew Morpho Sword was a thing, so I was like, well, I'll just start doing +1 on my favorites. So I did +1 on the Space Ranger. Did good damage. That got me through pretty much, I think it did all of Ultimate Cup with that one.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I did all of it with the Morpho Sword. Truly, after I got the Meta Knight Sword, I really didn't use, if I could help it, I always use the sword. Every single time. Always.
I mean, it's mega cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. And just like having, if you have like the extra health bar and you get to shoot the projectiles anyways, it's really very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that any weapon is viable, honestly. And especially with those dodge counters. Most bosses don't stand a chance if you know about the dodge counters.
I know. Once you learned about dodging, it was really a different game, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just made a huge difference. Makes things really easy. You time it right, do the dodge counter, and then just go to town.
Yeah.
I think on the Tropical Woods, or whatever the boss's name is, in the Ultimate Cup, he builds those walls, right? He puts those walls up?
Yeah. Phantom Tropic,
you know what I'm
Woods.
Talking about?
Yeah, he puts up those chain link walls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you have Morpho Knight and you dodge, I think I remember getting all the way to him just before they even came up. That's so good. I don't know. That's pretty nice.
I also cannot stress enough how excited and how happy I was when I first picked up the Time Crash.
It's so cool. It feels really, really cool.
Yeah. I also love the Treasure Road, too, because it's like you have 5 seconds to complete this Treasure Road, and you're like, what am I going to do about that? But then the Time Crash.
It's a world, though.
Boom. Yeah. And then even the level timer goes slower. You're like, oh, that makes sense.
No, that's fun. It definitely feels the most anime. Even the original Crash without the time.
Oh, yeah.
Feels very anime. Yeah,
that one is also fun. I love picking that one up for funsies.
Yeah. Oh, it's very fun. I know it's a bummer. It's a one-time use. Obviously, that's the only thing about it that's hard to justify, but it's very fun and very worth it. Just for the fun factor.
Oh, for sure. Did you have a favorite mouthful mode?
It was probably the ring, honestly. The where you're like the air cannon.
Oh, yeah. Air cannon mode.
Yeah. I feel like that was probably my favorite. I did really like the car.
I'm
gonna go with the ring. The racing section's really fun.
Yeah, I love the racing sections, and I liked with that. We were talking about the Waddle Dee challenges. I really liked how some of those were like, get this time in the race, and you're like, how do I get that?
Yeah, that was a really fun experience. I loved that because like until you learn the shortcuts, you're like, this is impossible.
Yeah.
How in the world? And it took a lot of like grinding. It took me like a lot of figuring to be like, okay, why is this section here? Why is this wall section missing or whatever? You know, like additionally, I think that there's one where you just like jump off the bridge and go below. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, obviously, why wouldn't I do that? But initially I wasn't doing that, but it saves so much time and it's fun, man. That's just once again, praising the level design, very, very good level design. And that's all a part of it.
Yeah. Super good level design. So I think that's probably one of the reasons I love the car. as there was a lot of that figuring out stuff, but
yeah, definitely funner than any other racing game.
I also like Vending Machine, shooting sodas at dudes, and they also heal you if you just don't hit anything.
Yeah, if you just pick them up, that's fun. Yeah, I think all the mouthful modes are very fun. I think.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike any of them.
Yeah, I didn't either. And just when I was like getting sick of some of them, they would just be like, "Yeah, you're done with this anyway," and I'd be like, "All right, well."
Yeah, I think that the only one that I'd probably get sick of potentially is like the cone, but it's only because you move slow. Yep. But it's really fun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking—is the cone because you move slow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the only drawback to it. It still feels very satisfying.
Yeah, punching through pipes and killing big old turtles or whatever is going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Man, what is it with Nintendo against the turtles?
Yeah, what?
Well, snapping turtles are always the enemy, isn't it?
Ew, what a conspiracy. This is crazy.
Rip. Yeah, protect the snapping turtles. They deserve love.
We gotta have a turtle game. Nintendo's gotta make a turtle game where we're killing everything else besides turtles.
Yeah, as it was meant to be.
Yeah.
But if Nintendo released a turtle game where you're a turtle killing everything else, I would assume that it's propaganda against the turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Nice try, Nintendo. Nice try.
Nice try. Nice try. So, map traversal.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought the map traversal was really fun. I thought the map, obviously, it looked really good. All the effects, like when you roll over to a new area and it does like, it shoots like a little bubble firework into the air and then it pops into a bigger title. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those kinds of effects looked really good. Also, that there are the hidden treasure roads that you can find. I thought that was a really fun detail that they put into the world traversal.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Even when you're just on the map, you're looking for secrets and being rewarded for exploring on the map screen.
Yeah, and it feels like they almost do a little visual narrative stuff, too. I know that there are a few areas when you find it, there's like that little campsite or different things like that. It's not very big. It's not necessarily the same as like in Red Dead Redemption or whatever, where there's like a whole story when you find an abandoned cabin or whatever, but it does feel like that. And it's very pretty to look at. So
yeah, it is pretty to look at.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. I feel like that's my main, those are my main thoughts about the world traversal truly, or the map traversal, but
yeah, agreed.
Everything very well polished once again.
Polished. And I think in proper Kirby fashion, the theming for each of the six worlds, top notch. The music, the location, like, you know, plains or coast or like the theme park, you know, super well done. I think all Kirby games kind of have that, but I love that, like how they're all so like distinctly memorable.
Yeah, and also I really do enjoy in this game that there is this juxtaposition of like Kirby from Dreamland in basically a post-apocalyptic Earth.
Yeah, right?
And I think that's really fun, and it makes Kirby stand out even more, and the characters stand out even more, and it's a very good setting for all of these cute, bubbly characters, where normally they're in a cute, bubbly world, and in this one, they're in, like, a desolate, overgrown world, you know, and it works really well.
Yeah, it does work really well. Surprisingly well, even.
Yeah, I agree. This game did surprise. Lots and lots of surprises. Oh, so many for surprises. This game for me. Even just that I loved it so much was a surprise.
Right?
Playing the game, there were a bunch of surprises too. For real.
Yeah, for real. And I think the place that I found myself surprised the most, that I liked the most, is the one with the theme park.
I loved the theme park. I agree.
So many. There's just such a wide variety of things going on in there, like with the mechanics, and they just have like little one-time things. Like I remember in one level, they have you throwing bombs downhill.
Yeah, like a bowling.
Yeah, kind of like
bowling. Yeah, and it goes off the ramp.
Yeah, off the ramp, and you'd get on and go through this little roller coaster mini game, and you have like the water mouth full mode.
Oh, I loved that one too.
Yeah, so good.
It's like, it was like Super Mario Sunshine for a minute.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It felt just like it.
Yeah, so good. But I mean, even though that one was my favorite, they all have such, I give them all high marks. They're good.
I agree. And I would agree. That's my favorite too. I think it's probably just most people's favorites, the carnival amusement park area. And I think a part of that is that's where the racing section is. It's very much, it's almost like a land full of mini games, and it very much fits that theme. But it's fun that they were able to put that in and make it very coherent with the rest of the game, but it still feels like distinct and everything is a game when you're there. And it's great. It also, I feel like that's the last one before it starts to get a little bit like darker. I'm doing air quotes darker because, you know, it's still Kirby, but Kirby does get a little darker, you know, and a little more ominous and threatening.
Yeah.
And after that, the creatures start to get a little bit like scarier and the areas get a little bit scarier. I also say that the Redgar Forbidden Lands, the music there, I didn't love it because it starts with like this big, huge, it's either a violin or like a trumpet stab. And it's like so loud and like there's a lot of dissonance and it's like ree, 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 just every time you go to that area.
No, totally. I totally agree. Those last ones, they start packing on the heat.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, literally in the lava area, isn't it?
Yeah, literally.
We've already talked about the Waddle Dee rescuing. It's a big part of it. I will say that one part that I didn't touch on that is I love that it doesn't tell you everything. But if you didn't find them all, it tells you, okay, this is how you need to go about getting this if you didn't discover them. So it's all about exploration, and it rewards you for discovering those things on your own. But also, I never felt stuck.
Same.
You know?
Yep. I did like how they would give you hints, slightly guide you. I think there was actually one that I just could not figure out, but I like came back the next day and it was easy or something.
Cool. I think I did Google one, and it's because I was like, it's like find this hidden room or something. I was like, where the heck is this hidden room? And I would go, it was like on the bridge where you fight all those things, and I was looking on the bridge, but it's before you enter the bridge, and I wasn't even thinking about it. So that one was the one where I was like, that should have maybe been different, or like I didn't love that one. That's the only one that I can even complain about.
Maybe if they had just like a coin next to that entrance or something.
Yeah, my eye needed to be led a little bit more. And you know, it's fine for there to be more hidden secrets, and so I can't really complain about that.
Yeah. But
you spend the majority of time on the bridge and you can't go back, so it just felt weird.
Yeah. We haven't touched on the home base though, have we?
Oh no, we haven't talked about the home base at all. And I loved the home base. I thought that was a really, really good addition.
Yeah, I really liked it. Going back and like doing some of the mini games to pass your time. I really liked I thought the fishing mini game was really fun.
Same. I also love fishing mini games in games. It makes me, for my own game development, want to ensure that I always put a fishing mini game in. No matter what the game is, there should be a fishing mini game. I think like it definitely adds an extra star in my review of any game if there's a fishing mini game in it. I just love them. I don't know why. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, it's just really well done.
It is really well done. That's a good fishing mini game.
I will tell you, the one that made me rip my hair out was the one where you're a little ball.
Yeah, the ball gyroscopic ball game. I understand that. Did you get the? I mean, I'm assuming you got the whole thing, right?
The hard level, like the 3-star hard.
Yeah.
That took me literally like an hour, at least an hour, probably more than an hour.
I don't know how it took me a while too. It was hard. Like the final one, it took me a long time, man. It's difficult. It had to be so precise.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, that's a cool, I don't even know what to call it, but a thing about the Switch is that it's so precise that you can have games like that with the gyroscopic like rumble and the stuff inside of it, you know, that it can be, that you can have a mini game like that at all is really neat.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're totally right.
Yeah, very neat. I love the ball game. I loved all the mini games.
Yeah,
in Waddle Dee Town, and everything about Waddle Dee Town was great. That it evolves over time. That it's like this reward for getting all the Waddle Dees because you get to see everybody in the town start to grow. I love that kind of progression where it's like, okay, you're building this town. The things that you're doing are affecting the world and like making things better for the people that are around you. It's very fun and very satisfying.
Yeah, the visual progression is really satisfying. And it was just super fun to all of a sudden like a building would pop up and it'd be like, oh, I wonder what this one has, or I wonder if there's a little mini game over here.
Yeah, I was always excited to get the new buildings or whatever it was, because I knew it was going to be fun. And it was fun. Every single time, it was a fun new addition.
Yeah.
I will say that the power-ups were one of my least favorite parts of the game. I didn't necessarily mind it, but it almost rewarded a grind where you would buy them and drink them and buy them and drink them so you'd get the most you possibly could, because that was the optimal way to play. But it took forever to do that, and it just wasn't that fun. I did like, if they could all have been something like the double health bar drink, then that would have been great, where it's just like this passive buff. Once it's gone, it's gone, but it's not like a timed thing.
Yeah.
I think that would have been better. So I didn't love the upgrades in terms of your ability to buy them, I guess. Kind of soured the experience for me a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't like them so much that I just didn't even buy them.
Fair enough. I stopped. I did it like one time.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, this is too much work and it's not even worth it. Yeah. I don't know. I would always just buy the, instead of buying the maximum tomatoes like I used to and put them in my pocket, I would just put the green drink in there and get the extra. It would just heal me all the way and I'd get the extra health bar. So great deal.
Yeah. I think I got them and I was like, I don't really need the game to be any easier than it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, and also, you know, I'm a money hog, so I was like, I don't really want to spend money because I need money for my power-ups.
Gotta save money for the gachapon.
Yeah, and I was like, I gotta save money for those gachapons.
I loved the gacha. I loved them so much.
Really?
Oh, I thought they were awesome. I thought it was very fun to collect them. I thought it was, I don't know, I just really liked it. It's probably my favorite collectible in any video game. This is maybe controversial, but I don't love gacha in real life because it's a lot of waste, right?
Right, yeah.
I can never get myself to get into that kind of collectible because I just feel like, well, it's just here to be eventually thrown away, to look at and then throw away eventually.
Right.
I don't love that. So having it in Kirby, I feel like scratched an itch that I've had for a long, long time where I would love to get in that kind of thing if it wasn't for that. And there's no waste. It's all digital. And it made me super happy.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. I think my only complaint against the gacha is I liked collecting them and I liked, you know, getting new ones that I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to display this one in Kirby's house. This is my new favorite. Mm. This is my new favorite gacha. But when I was at the very end of the game and the very last thing I needed to do before the 99% was just going to that machine and pressing A a million times, I really wish there was like a times 5 or a times 10 or like I could choose how many rolls I wanted at a time.
Yeah, that would have been a good quality of life addition, I think. You're right.
Yeah. I was fine with the odds of getting a new one, but just the fact that I had to just sit there, and I think I timed it. It was like 15 minutes. I was just sitting there. A.
Yeah. Now I feel that, but I honestly feel like I was looking forward to that moment like the whole time I was playing. I was like, I was just saving it, you know. I was like, man, I can't wait to go spend all this money on these gachas and collect these gachas. And it has a really good like feel with the rumble when it opens and the animation is really good. And they all, when, you know, you get the bigger ones and the bigger ones feel big, they feel so much better to open. And it's very exciting and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever like click on one and view it with Kirby? And it's like Kirby's face looking at the figurine.
Yeah,
I loved that. I thought it was so cute. And I love that you could look at the whole 3D model. And they're really good models, too. I very much appreciate. I can't do 3D modeling well at all. So I really appreciate all of the incredible work that went into Kirby with all the 3D models. Some very talented artists.
Yeah, they were all really well done. And I think they all had little old descriptions, too.
They did. Well, I think most of them. I think maybe some of them didn't. They just had the name. But some of them had interesting little, like, info.
Lore pieces.
Text slots. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that the community latches on to the lore pieces in those and explains the lore of this game to me.
Yeah, I need somebody who does the Kirby lore videos to explain all that.
Yeah, seriously. Boss fights.
Can't say enough about the boss fights. That was my favorite part of the whole game.
Yeah, the boss fights were really quite well done. I appreciate
it. Who is your favorite boss?
Ooh, favorite boss. I think Man, I really liked the final boss. It's from like just the gameplay, Facto Elphilus.
The final boss, or the final boss of the first section?
The final boss of like before credits roll, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just with the finale with the freaking semi truck and all the different mechanics that you had to learn to dodge. I just thought it was super well done. But, you know, I mean, they're all pretty fun. Leon Gar, I really liked fighting him. I thought that was a fun fight.
Sam, I also really loved that there were the harder versions when you got into the Phantom ones. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very fun. And I loved that there was that they it wasn't just that they were harder because they had more health or they did more damage, but they had a new moveset, or at least an addition to their moveset. Yes. And I really appreciated that and thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I'm so happy that they made it that much more different.
Yeah, to me, the post-credits stuff felt like New Game Plus in the best way that you can do New Game Plus, where there's actually new content, mm-hmm. You know?
Totally agree.
I loved it.
Do you have a favorite boss before the post-credits stuff?
Before the post-credit stuff, I mean, it probably would be Elphilus as well for me. Facto Elphilus, mm-hmm. Like, just good. I feel like the boss fights really did feel like they ramped up. They just got better and better. I think that I might have preferred. I maybe would rate the King Dedede boss fights a little bit lower, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just me. They just didn't feel as like big and like, I don't know, grand as some of the other ones. The other ones, I felt like I just kept being surprised and there were these really cool things happening. And then DDDs felt cool. They were still cool, but they were a little bit vanilla to me.
Yeah, I could agree to that.
Yeah. Facto Elphilus from the beginning. Absolutely. I think that's the winner.
That is the winner. Well, then, shall we take a short break before we kind of move into the final segment?
I guess so. Short break time it is.
Short break time it is. Fire! I'm ready for the short break to be over. Are you ready for short break to be over?
Yep.
Mom's spaghetti.
I'm ready.
Okay, and we're back from the short break.
Yeah.
Post-credit stuff.
So cool.
So good.
Just the fact that there is post-credit stuff, to me, I was so happy. I didn't know. I wasn't certain. I was like, wow, what a great experience. I would have been happy if it had ended without the post-credit stuff. But it definitely made it a top-tier game for me that all the post-credit stuff was there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that was just icing on the cake. That out of all the surprises, it's definitely my favorite surprise. That there was just so much more after I beat the game.
Then I kept being surprised. There kept being stuff. I was like, okay, now I'm done. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not done. And this stuff is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, even though the grind, like you mentioned earlier, the soul collecting is a little different from the Waddle Dee collecting, you know? Even though that's a mm-hmm. little bit less fun, I think it was still just a super good time.
Yeah, it was fun. And I do, and I am glad that they did a different format. I mean, I loved the Waddle Dee format, and I think it was incredible. But having the variety of like, okay, you've done the Waddle Dee collection and now you're doing a different type of collection, I think that was a good decision for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. That was a good move. But anyway, spoilers for post-credit stuff. So, right, we talked about, this is going way back to the beginning of the podcast, the narrative, right? Kirby slams into the final boss before he can pull Planet Popstar through a dimensional portal. Kirby slams Elphilus with the semi-truck. And then after that, everybody's like, this is a good time. And then you learn that the final boss split Leon Gar, the Beast King, his soul into 300 pieces.
I think you're right.
Yeah, like 300 different pieces. And you, as Kirby, have to go into this like dimensional hole, which is created by like the final boss's memories or something. Some lore stuff. But then you have 6 more levels to explore. And these levels are just like a combination of every single one of the levels in the world. So you have one world, well, one level for the first world and so on. And you just have to collect all these little pieces to restore Leon Gar. And he comes back after you collect all the pieces, but then you have to kill him again but then you don't kill them because you restore them. And there's also, in all of these levels, they have alternative layouts for one, but the boss fights, like we were talking, have new moves, more health, and it's just cooler. It's a cool time.
Very much cooler.
And then you can face all of them in the Ultimate Cup, which is like the arena. You have, isn't there, is there, there's three different arenas you can fight in.
Yeah. Yeah, you get one like midway through, and then you get one after you beat the game, and then you get one after you beat the post-credits game.
Yeah, post-credits stuff. And something I didn't know when I was researching is the arenas are usually not canon in any of the Kirby games, but some people are saying that this Ultimate Arena X is supposed to be canon. Maybe.
Felt canon.
Because there's a couple of cutscenes.
I count it. I don't know. I loved it.
I really enjoy that sequence because, I don't know, it's cool. Fighting Morpho Knight. If anybody in the crowd is a Kirby lore enthusiast, you know that Morpho Knight is crazy.
I don't know much about the lore of Morpho Knight, but
I guess it's not really Morpho Knight that's the big name. It's Galactonite.
That's right.
And Morpho Knight, I guess, is like an incarnation of Galactonite.
Interesting.
Or something.
But he's a butterfly.
Yeah, butterflies, man. What's up with that?
I don't know. It seems to be some theme. I mean, I like it. It's like a very cool, like, symbol, I guess.
Yeah.
Like a little visual effect to have a butterfly that then turns into this crazy hard boss.
Yeah. In all of the lore videos I watched, they're like, these butterflies have always been in Kirby games. And I guess they always have been in Kirby games. Butterflies have always been next to Kirby in Kirby games. And, you know, sometimes for whatever reason, these butterflies just have the power to completely absorb anything in their powers.
Huh.
I don't know what that makes butterflies in Kirby world, but
yeah, I don't know. Butterflies are weird.
Butterflies are completely insanely powerful if they can just take the final boss and be like, yeah, we're going to assimilate.
And sort of hanging around Kirby or something, huh?
And I guess because of that Morpho, so you fight the Morpho Knight and then you can unlock the Morpho Knight sword, which is super cool. And then you fight
so cool.
An alternate version of the last boss, Fecto Elphilus.
Which is my favorite part of the whole game was the last fight in the Colosseum.
Such a good fight. That took me so many tries.
Just everything. Just that there were, and that there kept being more. It's like the two health bars thing, right? But it happened like five times. Yeah. I was like, there's more?
It just kept going, man.
It's crazy. It just kept going.
Kept going.
And then you beat it and like, oh my gosh, I have to fight this thing now?
Yeah.
Like even the Morpho Knight part, I was like, okay. Oh, so there's another one. Because I remember even thinking, I was playing the Final Colosseum and it counts down the number that you have left, right? And I was like, okay, there's two left. So what's going to happen? I remember being like, that's weird. I was like, and I had theories in my head, but I didn't know what was going on. And then I was just pleasantly surprised with all of the content that was there.
Yes.
Wow.
Freaking nutty. And then the final boss continues even past, like he has an extra phase that goes beyond, actually like two extra phases beyond the pre-credits final boss version of itself.
Are you talking the orb?
Yeah, when you rip the soul out of the body, when you fight the soul.
Which was so cool.
Super
cool. It was a little gnarly, but yes.
Yeah, a little. I mean, just saying it, you know, it's a little crazy.
No, well, like, I felt that way when I did it, too. It's just like you, like, spin this, like, essence of this thing out of its body, and it's like, okay, Kirby, settle down. That's enough, Kirby.
Super cool.
It was super cool. I loved fighting the orb and everything. It felt very powerful. It felt very cool. It was very surprising.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. What a good fight.
What a good fight. The best. They saved the best for last, and it felt so good. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah, they did save best for last. So good.
Yeah, that was my main thing. I mean, I would recommend this game. For the last fight alone, for the final arena, like I said, I've played it like three times and I still love it. I'll probably play it again.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, the arena is And that actually is one of my few gripes, is the arena is one of the only ways you can earn the special stones or whatever. And the arena is one of the only ways you can get more of those to upgrade your abilities. But with the arena being so fun, I mean, is good times. Yeah,
not too bad. Not too bad at all.
We kind of discussed the final boss. That's probably the best boss in the whole game.
Easily my favorite boss. I think it's great. The like 5 health bars thing really did it for me. I love that kind of thing. Having the different boss phases is big for me. When I first beat, I beat it on my first try, but it was literally 1 health away. And initially it was because I couldn't figure out how to dodge the big, huge meteor it does. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what am I supposed to do? But I mean, eventually I feel like I was thinking about it that night, and I was like, oh, it, like, I thought about it outside of playing the game, which is fun that I was thinking about the game outside of playing it. It definitely suggests some quality, I think.
Yeah.
But then jumping on the pillars, I was like, okay, it's like making a staircase for me.
Yeah, I had a similar.
It clicked in my
head. I had a similar aha moment. I was like, I was leaning so hard on trying to dodge through it. Same. And I was like, well, maybe. So I was trying to think about it from the perspective of a child. Like, how would they make this beatable for a kid? And I was looking, and that's, I was like, so oh, well, maybe they just expect me to jump over it. And that's exactly what they wanted from me.
I think that's the only attack that you cannot dodge with the dodge ability, that is. I wish that there was a little bit more of that. I like that it forces me into this new situation where I can't just use dodging for everything. And once again, I think that I would love to see a little bit more of that. The boss fight felt really hard. It felt very, very grand, large scale.
Yeah, the grand large scale was really good.
Definitely feels like you're fighting an all-powerful god.
Yeah, indeed. What did you think? We kind of touched on it. What did you think about the 6 post-game isolated aisles?
I like the way that they chose to do it. Because like you said, it was basically 1 zone per world. And I really liked that. It was fun, like a snapshot. Once again, I felt like it was like a new game plus in a twist on the new game plus. And I really liked that I was going through the same levels, but they felt very different. It felt very fresh. And I enjoyed the whole experience. Less so than the base game. I think the platforming and the level traversal and just the level design overall wasn't necessarily made for that second half, but I think it was still a great experience. I'd probably give the first section a 9 out of 10, and then that section like an 8 out of 10, and then the final Colosseum is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. Definitely. The 6 post game, I really like the concept and I like the execution. But like just trying to think about it, like because they are literally just a combination of the old levels, they just all mesh together and they all have that purple filter.
They do all have that purple filter. Yeah, which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
So they all I'm just trying to think about it. They all mesh together in my head is like a singular level. But
yeah, they don't feel very distinct like the base game does.
Mm-hmm. I will say my favorite quality of life thing they did there is when you did collect all the souls in a level, they're like, hey, this is all of them. You're done. And they're like, great.
That was very nice. It let you know that you could move on. I very much appreciated that as well.
If I didn't get that notice, I would just like search every nook and cranny and...
Because you don't want to move on. You don't want to move on until you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they were really in the mind of the player a lot in the game. And that was definitely one of those times.
They nailed it.
Yeah, they did. I agree.
So I think the last thing we got to go over is the path to 100%ing the game and the reward.
Yeah, pretty basic stuff. I had a good time. I didn't move on to the post-credit stuff until I finished all the Waddle Dee stuff. Definitely my favorite bit of like... earning stuff was the Waddle Dee stuff. And I think that's really when you get 100%, like the whole town comes together, right? You get like, it just starts to look a lot better. I can't even remember exactly what you get. I know that when you 100%, it gives you like a little like graphic, like,
yeah,
oh, 100%, you did it.
Yeah, something to screenshot and post on social media.
Yeah, I think I did screenshot it. I'm not going to share that anywhere, but I have it. That's how I can prove. If ever I have to go to court to prove that I 100%ed Kirby for whatever reason, I'll have the proof.
Yeah. Now, I really liked 100%ing this game. I felt like I always had a drive to, like, after I got to a certain point. It's so much fun that I wanted to continue to play the game.
And that's a whole different topic I want to get into
on a podcast or video of its own. Just the draw, but the draw this had for me just to want to keep playing to get that 100%, that's high marks from me.
I agree. The game never feels like a slog. Never at any point from 0% to 100% for me. It always felt enjoyable. And I don't know another game that has it to the level that this game has. I feel like it was the perfect length of time for a game. I don't know how long exactly I spent playing it, but it never felt like it was grinding. It always felt fun. Some parts more than others, but never a slog where I would have dropped the game or where I was pushing myself to get through just because I wanted 100% it. It always felt fun, unlike, I think, maybe any other game.
They really have dialed it into just a perfect place.
I agree, and I don't know another game that encourages you to 100% the game as much as I feel like Kirby and the Forgotten Land does.
Mm. Yeah.
Like other games, like to get 100% achievements, I don't know. Like other games, it's like a really big thing, and there are some things that are like, well, we don't expect a lot of people to do this necessarily, but in Kirby it's like, yeah, we kind of expect everybody to want to get 100% and they lead you in this way. Even like the gachapon stuff, you know, they give you resources to make it easier to get the things that you don't have, and the odds of getting things that you don't have are very high anyways, to where everybody can 100% it, not based on RNG. Everything's very accomplishable, and it leads you on a path that's very fun all the way through, and basically the way that you need to 100% the game is just play through and have fun.
Yeah, I think the reason for that is they are trying to maximize the amount of fun that the player's gonna have. That 100% is more like, okay, you've experienced everything more or less that this game has to offer, you know.
Yeah,
it's like their little gift to the player. And I think if this game was made by a more mainline developer, I think they definitely, like, for the 100%, the platinum, they would be like, upgrade every ability to the maximum, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't have those super grindy achievements, you know, like other games tend to have.
That just mark you as a guy that stays in their house and plays the same game all the day.
No, some achievements really are like that, where it's like it's not skill or anything like that or an experience. It's really just sit down and do this thing 100 times and then you get this achievement.
Yeah, it's insane, but they respect the player. And even then, I don't even think you have to do a couple of things in this, like, and that's just one example, the abilities. No? But there's some things you don't even have to do to get the 100%.
Yeah, like you don't have to get the check marks for the treasure road. That's not required, which I think is cool. I don't know, I really liked it. I like their decisions. It very much feels like they were fun first in their philosophy for making this game, and it definitely shows. This game, I think, described in one word, is just fun.
I agree.
It's a very fun experience, more fun than I expected it to be, and it's not difficult necessarily. Some parts are a little more difficult, but it's fun regardless. The whole game is super fun.
Yeah, the whole time it was really fun, and I just really appreciated that. There's times where, you know, it's good to sit down and play a game like Elden Ring where I can get pissed off and, you know, also feel super rewarded from being pissed off but winning while being pissed off.
Yeah, eventually. But... yeah, eventually getting there. Yeah, no, definitely playing Elden Ring feels like doing like an Iron Man portion of swimming, and then Kirby is like a lazy river.
Exactly. It's just fun.
It's very fun and enjoyable, but it's not super hard.
Yeah, it's not super hard, but it's dialed in, man. It's just dialed into fun.
It really is. Yeah, very polished. Great job, development team.
Yeah, high praises to Hal.
Yeah, it is, regardless of anything, you know, any section of the game that I liked more than any other ones, this is definitely a 10 out of 10 game for me. One of my favorites. I would recommend to anybody, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also recommend it to anybody. I think the price of games is kind of, I mean, the Nintendo Switch inflated price of them cartridges and digital downloads is a little bit steep for any game.
Yeah, well, relative to other games, it's true.
But yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, if you're looking for a Nintendo game, I mean, Nintendo games are usually that that price anyways, but it's one of the, I mean, it made me want to play other Nintendo games too, because it's like, wow, this is, I wonder what else I could potentially be missing out on, because I didn't expect Kirby to be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, this is an aside, but you know that video games, despite inflation, have not really gone up in price.
Ah.
Have you ever looked at those statistics?
I think I have. Yeah, video games are still kind of lower than they used to be in price.
Yeah, very much so. Actually, video games are like super cheap. I'm not against that at all. I mean, I love it. I love to buy games on the cheap anyways. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's this interesting thing where people almost feel, it doesn't feel like you're getting a good deal necessarily, because it's all like relative, you know? Yeah. But video games as a pastime is like one of the cheapest pastimes you can have.
Indeed.
Like, concerts cost more and you go there for a few hours.
Yeah, one time thing.
A lot of stuff is like that, but I don't know. And, you know, everybody should enjoy the hobbies that they like, I think. I've got nothing against any other hobbies.
Truly.
But I love video games, and I think it's money well spent on Kirby.
Indeed. And I think most people will find their money well spent on Kirby, for sure.
Yeah, I feel very safe recommending it.
And I definitely see myself coming back around to play it again, something I never did this whole playthrough was co-op.
Oh, really? I played a little co-op. It was very fun.
How did the co-op work?
You get to play, one of you plays as Kirby regularly, and then another person gets a unique ability. So actually, I guess if you count the co-op ability, there's actually 37 abilities in this one. Because the other, you get to play as the Waddle Dee with the spear.
Oh, yep.
And he has his own set of abilities and stuff. And it's probably the most complex ability in the game in terms of all the things that you're able to do. You're able to like throw the spears, you're able to charge up and throw multiple spears, as well as like the melee combo, and then you're able to fly with your thing in the air and it shoots down little spears as you're flying. And I think that there's another like unique slide ability as well that one has that other ones don't have.
Oh wow.
So it's pretty fun. Yeah, it's a pretty fun little thing, definitely a new experience when you play it, and I feel like they did a good job of, you're not playing as Kirby, but it feels very fun anyways. You get this ability that has its own set of tools that feel very good to play.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself coming to replay it just for the co-op experience then. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I think that replaying in the co-op is probably the best way to do it anyways.
Well, got any final thoughts, I guess?
That's it. It's a great game. I loved it.
Loved it. I'm right there with you. You got any plugs? Social media plugs?
Yeah, I mean, check out Jordan Greatest on Twitter, itch.io, Reddit. Post stuff fairly regularly. I've been on the grind lately, but watch out for a deck-building sushi game that's in the works. Ooh. You can go play my latest free release, which is Tiny Frog Hotel, which is done in 3 days for a game jam. Go check it out.
Indeed. I like your games. They're fun.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. Wow.
I can attest. I've played them.
I appreciate it. Thanks for playing them. I like them. Hoping to get even better.
Yeah. If y'all enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate. If you can rate on your platform, you can follow it or subscribe to it. You can always leave a voice message. We have polls, Q&As. Just look for things. Look for things. Every site, they've got something going on. You can follow the show on Twitter as well. You can follow me on Twitter, at The Void Arcade, at Noir Brand. And that'll just do it for this episode on Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Woo!
All right. Peace out, Bean Sprouts.
Peace out, Bean Sprouts.